From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The young man accused of lying to federal agents investigating the Boston Marathon bombing has been ordered free on bail. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports he'll be living at home and wearing a tracking device.
Law enforcement officials arrested three college friends of the only surviving suspect in last month's attack. Robel Philippos is a 19-year-old American who had known Jahar Tsarnaev since high school. Law enforcement officials say he lied to FBI agents about throwing away a backpack that contained evidence linking Tsarnaev to the attacks. Tsarnaev is in a prison hospital, accused of staging the marathon bombing with his brother. A judge in Boston released Philippos on a $100,000 bond on the condition that he be under the custody of his mother and wear a GPS bracelet. Philippos is scheduled to be back in court May 16th. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
Meanwhile, a funeral director is having a tough time finding a Boston area cemetery that'll accept the remains of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, Jahar's older brother who was killed in a gun battle with police days after the attack. Officials in Cambridge, where Tsarnaev lived, are worried about unrest if he's buried in the area. Some residents say there is another way. Send Tsarnaev's body to Russia, his native homeland. But community activist William Bro is asking officials to make it happen.
We need the federal government to step into this, expedite it. They can do it quick. When they're running for office, they appear very quickly. When the situation gets sticky, nobody's around. I see no comments from elected officials. That's disheartening.
Governor Deval Patrick declined to say whether Tsarnaev's body should be allowed to be buried in Massachusetts. He says it's a family issue that should be resolved soon. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is heading to Moscow today to try once again to persuade Russia to help resolve the crisis in Syria diplomatically. NPR's Michelle Kellerman will be traveling with him.
Kerry is to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin, and the two have a lot of issues on their plate. Syria will be one of them. The Israeli strikes over the weekend and the charges of chemical weapons use add urgency to the talks. The U.S., Russia, and other major powers agreed last year to promote a political transition in Syria, but State Department officials say they've never been able to operationalize this. Kerry will try to, as one official puts it, take another stab at it with Russia because the events on the ground in Syria have become steadily worse. Asked about the allegations that rebels may have used sarin gas in Syria, an official says the U.S. has no information to suggest that Syrian rebels have the capability or the intention to use such weapons. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Before the closing bell, Dow is down 5 points at 14,969. NASDAQ was up 14 and the S&P 500 gaining 4. This is NPR News. Investigators are trying to determine what caused a stretch limousine to burst into flames as it was crossing a bridge over the San Francisco Bay Saturday. 5 women, including a new bride, were killed. Several others were treated for burns. The Associated Press cites investigators saying the limo was carrying one too many passengers, but officials are not saying if overcrowding was a factor. A Utah prosecutor says he'll decide within the next couple of days how to charge the teenager accused of punching a soccer referee who died Saturday after a week in a coma. Authorities say the 17-year-old struck Ricardo Portillo in the head during a soccer match after he called a penalty. The referee eventually died days later. A digitized treasure trove of Ernest Hemingway's papers and personal effects is being transferred from his home in Cuba to the John F. Kennedy Library, the result of an unusual collaboration between the U.S.-based foundation and the Cuban government. NPR's Lynn Neary has more.
In 2004, Jenny Phillips, granddaughter of Hemingway's editor Maxwell Perkins, visited Finca Vigia, the estate near Havana where Hemingway lived for more than 20 years. The house and its contents were neglected, so Phillips started a foundation to save the place where Hemingway had written some of his greatest books. Today, the Finca Vigia Foundation announced that 2,000 of Hemingway's papers have been digitized and donated to the Kennedy Library in Boston. The documents include letters, passports, even bar bills and grocery lists, what Phillips calls the flotsam and jetsam of a writer's life that make up one big puzzle. It does not include any manuscripts, though an earlier similar effort uncovered an alternative ending to For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Lynn Neary reporting. This is NPR.